Today's shir is for Eschus, for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masechet Ksubos Daf Kuf Yud. We will begin a Mitzvah Shem on Daf Kuf Yud Amar Aleph at the top of the Amid at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Motzi Shtar Choyv Al Chaveroi. If somebody presents a document that somebody owes him money, V'aloi Machaloi Asada, and then the other person who the claim is made against that owes money shows a document that somebody sold him a piece of property after the time that the debt was due. Admin Oimer, so Admin says, Yochel, who the person who the claim is being made against could say, Shiyoimer, Ila Yisi Chayav Chayav Lcha, if I truly owed you money, Hayil Chali Pare Shalcha, Shemachatul Sasada, why did you accept that I should buy your field? Nobody, and this is an important premise to our Mishnah, to our Sugya, nobody sells property unless they have the no other option but to sell property. So ask the Gemara, in our Mishnah we're learning that somebody was owed money, and instead of collecting the money that he was owed, he sold a piece of property to that individual. And the person therefore could claim, Yochel hu shiyomar, he could say, Ila yisi chayv lecha, if I truly owed you money, hay lecha lipara eshelcha k'shemichat l'sasada. Instead of selling fields to raise cash, you should have just collected the money that you owed. And therefore he's claiming, as Rashi explains, that this document, even though he's holding a document that I owe him money, the document either represents a document that was paid up already or a document that is forged. And as the Pnei Yeshua explains, normally when somebody makes a claim that the document that he's holding is forged, it's a very weak claim. Particularly, as we've learned in this Masechta, if the situation is one where he has Edim, where he was able to be Mekayim the Shtar, where he was able to have the shtar certified. The fact that the document was certified is always a very strong indication that the document is true. And the Pnei Yeshua, in fact, says, when we learned at the beginning of our Masechta, the halacha of kiyum shtaris, and how documents are verified, we learned at the beginning of Masechta there are a number of ways. One way is when the Edim themselves, who are signed on the document, come and testify that they indeed signed this document. In such a case, it's very difficult to ever be able to make a legitimate claim that the document is forged. But we also learned that there are other ways of being mekayim the shtar, says the Pnei Yeshua. We learned at the beginning of Masechta, one of the other ways to be mekayim the shtar is by comparing signatures. So the Pnei Yeshua says that even though, of course, normally, that is a very powerful way of verifying a shtar, says the Pnei Yeshua, here it will not be considered a good enough because of Admon's Svara, the Svara that Admon just set forth. Why would I sell you my property if you owe me money? Says Admon, that's a strong enough claim to be able to support the claim that the shtar is a forgery. The Chum disagree. They say, the person who sold him the property actually was very smart. He was concerned that he's never going to be able to collect the money from him. He knew that the person to whom I owe money is a person, for whatever reason, is not necessarily going to pay me back. So my selling him a property was actually to do something on my own behalf. And what I accomplished by doing this was that now this person owns a piece of property that I could claim back as the property that I could take that has a lien on it, the loan that he owes me money. So not only is the fact that I sold him, the fact that he was sold property, not an indication that there's no money owed, maybe even a proof that there is money owed, or it's certainly a good reason why he would sell property. But the Gemara begins by asking, my Tama, the Rabbanan, doesn't Admon make a very strong claim? If I owe you money, Why are you selling me property? If I have money to pay for the property you're selling, and you're obviously in the need of cash, shouldn't you just collect the money that I owe you? Shapar kamar admin. Isn't admin making a very strong point? Answers the Gemara, indeed. Be'asra the yavizuzi v'hadikas v'shtara. In a place that when they do a transaction, a sale of a property, first the buyer gives the money, and then they write the shtar, the document, the sale document, says the Marakulei Amapligi. In such a case, the Matzah Amalei, the person to whom there's a claim that he owes money, could very well say, when I gave you the money, you should have said, well, this money that you're giving me is to cover what you owe me. You should have taken your money that you claim is owed to you when you sold the property. And the fact that you didn't do so is very much a proof that I really didn't owe you any money. But the Miri makes a very important point. And it goes back to something we mentioned in the Mishnah. Everything we're speaking about here is because why would a person sell property if he's able, if he needs income, if he needs money, where people owe him money? So let him just take the money that is owed to him as the way to raise cash. But says the Miri, sometimes somebody owns a piece of property that he really wants to get rid of. It's not such a high quality piece of property. In such a case, the claim that admin makes gets very weak because the person sold the property because he wanted to be able to get rid of that property. And therefore, this discussion wouldn't be relevant there. Keep pligi. And again, says the Gemara, therefore, if you took the money and then wrote a shtar, it's a raya that I really didn't owe you money. Keep pligi. Ba'asu the k'siv shtar v'hadi yas v'zuzi. Where first the sale document is written up and only afterwards is the money paid. Admin sava. Admin still says that this person who bought the property can have a very strong claim. Because the person who sold the property, if he was owed money, he should have made an announcement that the only reason he's selling the property is, as the Chachamim suggested in the Mishnah, why somebody would sell a property under those circumstances, to be able to have where to collect his debt from, to have a piece of property that has a mortgage on it. Rabbanan Savri, and Rabbanan, on the other hand, are of the opinion that people won't make that type of declaration. Because chavre chavre islay, if I'm going to make that declaration, nobody's going to want to buy the property if they know that the whole reason you're selling me the property is that you should be able to have a claim against me. So Taisus asks that we learned in our previous year that not always does everybody agree with the concept of chavre chavre islay. And our Gemara, Admin is proposing that should have been his thinking. So Taisus differentiates where sometimes we use the concept of chavre chavre chislei and sometimes we don't. In a case where a person has much to lose with that announcement, we don't use that concept. When there isn't that much to lose, we do use that concept. Says the Mishnah, Shnaim Shaytzi Shtar Chayv Zelzeh, you have two individuals, each one presents a Shtar Chayv that the second one borrowed somebody from them, and the second shtar, the date is later than the first shtar. Admin Omer, the second malva, could collect his debt, and he doesn't have to pay back the first person. Because he could say, Eli Hayisa Chayiv L'cha, if when I borrowed money from you, when you borrowed money from me, the date of the latest shtar, why did you borrow money from me? All you could attend is just take back what I owe you. In other words, if I owe you money, and you need money, why are you borrowing money from me? Why don't you just take the money that I owe you? It's a proof that I don't owe you money. The Chum disagree. Each one of us could claim the money that is owed to us. Of course, as I said, this entire discussion is only in a situation where the dates of the two shtaris are the same time. Since the dates of the two shtaris are the same time, then he could say to me, why did you borrow money if I owe you money? And why, if you needed money, why don't you just take the money take the money that's owed to you? Itmar. So the Gemara begins to discuss this type of situation. Shnaim Shaitziu Shtachoyv Zelza, the same case that we just mentioned, that the two individuals took out documents one against each other. Rav Nachman says, Zeh Goyva v'zeh Goyva. Each one could collect the amount that's owed to him. Rav Shesh says, if the two shtaris are both for the same amount of money, and the two shtaris have the same date, what is the purpose of going through this process? Hafuchi mataros alomali. What is the purpose of going through this process? Shouldn't you just keep your money, and I keep your, and I keep my money? And of course, as we're going to be learning the Gemara, it's not only a case where we're going to be holding on to our own money, but let's say neither of us has actual cash with which to pay up our debt. So we want to collect properties from each other, as we've learned so quite extensively in our Masechta, that when somebody owes money and he doesn't have the cash to pay off his debt, so that's when his nechasim, that's when his assets are mortgaged to the debt. And since his assets are mortgaged to the debt, so I collect your piece of property and you collect my piece of property. So the Gemara says, point of going through such a process, each one of us collecting each other's piece of property, we end up with the same. Zeh, and therefore, says Rav Sheshes, Zeh oimid b'shaloi, v'zeh oimid b'shaloi, each one of us should stay with its own property. Rashi says the definition of hafuchei meturus olamali means that if somebody is carrying two bags on his shoulders, and both bags are identical in size and in weight, so there's no purpose of switching the bag from the right side to the left side and the left side to the right side, we're going to end up exactly where we started off. And as the Rishonim explained, there's no point in me taking your property and you're taking my property. What would we gain from that if we're both ending up where we started? But in order to understand this Gemara, we have to remember, we have to review the Gemara Masechta Bavakama at the beginning of the Masechta, discusses that we know that when we speak about properties, there are three grades of property. Igis, which means the best, Beninus is average, and Zaburius are the weakest. And the Halacha tells us under which circumstances do you collect from which type of property. The Gemara Masechta Bavakama teaches us that if somebody does damage to someone else, he collects from Igis. What's relevant to our shear is that if somebody owes someone else money, the debt is collected from Beninus, from the average property. And as we're going to see in our shear, Mitzvah Shem, there's a big machloikis when we need to determine if a piece of property is Igis or Beninus. That determination is Igis, Beninus, or Burius. There's a fundamental question: how is that determination made? Is that determination made based on the properties that I own? And which that I own properties, my best property is Igis, my weakest property is Beninus, my weaker property is Beninus, and my weakest property is Burius. That's one way of how to look at such a situation. Or the other way is that these grades are not determined by what I own. The grades of property are determined by what they are. There's Igis property, which is high quality property. There's Beninus property, and there's Zaburius property. And all of these issues will have a very serious role in the Gemara we're about to begin to learn. Says the Gemara, the Kula Alma, there is no machlokes the discussion that we had in the Mishnah and the Gemara now isn't relevant, where each one of us has kid idjis. The two people who are having this discussion both own only idjis property. Or the two people that are having this discussion both own Beninus property. Or the two people that are having this discussion, Zaburius for Zaburius, both own only Zaburius property. There, the point that the Gemara raised, Vadi hafuche matarasahu. There's no point in just exchanging properties that are equal in status. Ki pligi, where do we have the machlokes? This le lechad. One of them has property which is Beninus, Lechad, and the only one, and the second one has property which is only Zaburius. Rav Nachman says, the first person Goiva collects the property that's owed to him. He goes to the individual who owes him money, who doesn't have cash, as we're learning, only has property. He goes over to him and says, "You owe me property." Zeh, and the other person goes to the other individual and collects his property. Because Rav Nachman's opinion is, says the Gemara, that Rav Nachman's opinion is that when we make a determination what is considered Beninus, Zebish Kusabishloy Shaman, everybody it goes according to what I own. My best property is Idjis, my second best property is Beninus, and so on. And therefore Osibal Zaburius, the person who only owns Zaburius, comes to the person that owns Beninus. The Govalei Beninus, he collects Beninus. The Havagabei Idjis, which as far as he's concerned, since he doesn't have high quality property, when it would be by him, it would be Idjis. And then the other one, the individual, will come back to this person who now has two pieces of property. The piece of property that he always had, which is Zaburius, and the piece of property that he just collected in payment of money owed to him, which for him is Idjis. Now, what will this person be able to collect from him? He can't collect Idjis, Vasahu Vashakal Zaburius. He'll end up with Zaburius. So that's why going through this procedure would make sense. Rav Sheshe says, it's still Afuchim et Harasul Amali. Because he holds that when we make a determination, is a field Idjis, is a field Beninus, is a field Zaburius, we go according to grades that the world makes those determinations. The world calls this piece of property a grade A piece of property, as Idjis piece of property. The world has determined, by whatever procedure, that this piece of property is a Beninus piece of property. And therefore, because since he holds Ksav B'Shok Adam Shaman, and about Chayv collects for Beninus, so if I collected Beninus property, when somebody comes back to collect from me, he'll also collect that property because the halacha's Beninus is not determined by what I own or don't own. It's determined what is considered Beninus. And says the Gemara, that's why Rav Sheshe's opinion was, Saif, kiyasa hu Beninus the nafshika shakal, he's just going to take back what he started with. And since he's just going to take back what he started with, there's no point in this whole procedure. Says the Gemara, but even Rav Nachman, who says that this person has something to gain, because he'll end up with Beninus, and the other person will end up with Zaburius, but ask the Gemara, why would it be that way? Or Rav Nachman, my chaz dasa ba Zaburius dereshu, why was the person who owns Zaburius the one who comes and collects from the Beninus, from the one that owns Beninus? And then when he'll pay back, Zaburius. Why don't we have the order of collection go in the other way? Let the person who owns Beninus collect first, and he'll collect Zaburius, because that's all that this other person owns. He only owns Zaburius. And then he'll give back, and he'll get back the Zaburius that he gave. So why do we say that the Beninus person collect? Why do we say the Zaburius person makes the first move? Why don't we say the Beninus person makes the first move? And again, particularly since, as we learned in the Mishnah, we're talking about a situation that two documents have the same date, why does he get the chance to collect first? Why doesn't the other one get the check collect first? Answers the Gemara, that's a fundamental question. When two people owe each other money, as is the case that we're discussing in our Mishnah and Gemara, Who collects first? Says the Gemara. The first who asks for payment first is the first person that we're going to deal with. And he, therefore, if he was smart and knows that he should collect first, he could end up making this exchange and end up with a better grade property. But ask the Gemara, why would we say so? Soif, soif, kiosul amigbi, when these people are coming to collect. Yes, so maybe I asked first and the other person asked second. But the reality is, Bahadi Adodi Kosta. The reality is they both owe money at the same time. And Besdin should take that into consideration. And Besdin should say that since they each owe money, and as Tosfos explains, even though the halacha indeed does teach us that we go in the order of the way people come to Besdin, and the first claim is addressed first, says Tosfos, that doesn't mean that Besdin shouldn't look at the entire picture. And if Besdin looks at the entire picture, why should Besdin create a situation that I will end up with my the other person's better field, and he'll end up with my weaker field when there's no fair reason for that, besides that he came first? Eloi Tzricha, says the Gemara, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes are discussing a different situation. This like Lechad, Idyas and Beinonis. One person owns two pieces of property, Idyas and Beinonis. And the other person only owns, this like Lechad Zaburius. And the other person only owns property which is Zaburius. Mar, Rav Nachman's opinion is, B'shloy Yishamin. When we make this determination of Idyas, Beinonis, Zaburius, we always go according to what is my Idyas, my Beinonis, etc. So if what's going to happen is that if Besdin's going to collect for the Baal Zaburius first, he's going to get Beinonis, because the person who owes me money has Idyas and Beinonis. Now when I pay him back, I'm going to give him Zaburius, because that's the halacha. And then, even if Besdin were to reverse the order, and even if Besdin were to collect for the person who owns Idyas and Beinonis first, what would have Besdin collected? Besdin would have only been able to collect Zaburius, because that's all that he owns. He only owns Zaburius. Then when he's going to pay back, he's going to pay back Beinonis, because that's what a Baal Chayiv has to pay. So even if Besdin is going to take the entire situation into consideration, this person gains, there's always going to be something for him to gain. And Masav Rav Sheshes says, this entire exercise is not relevant. Because when we make these determinations, we don't make the determination based on what I own. I make the determination based on what is considered Beinonis, what is considered Idyas. And therefore, there's no purpose in going through this procedure. Because Besdin will collect the Beinonis for on behalf of the Baal Zaburius, and then they take and give it right back to the other person because he owes him money. And that's why he said there's no purpose in doing this. We learned in the Mishnah that when the two people present shtoris on each other, so Chum Ayrim, we learned in the Mishnah, Zeh Goyva v'Zeh Goyva. They both collect. But we just finished learning and explaining, asked the Gemara, the opinion of Rav Sheshes, that hafuchim mitaros alamali, that there is no purpose in going through such a exercise. What is Rav Sheshes going to do with the Chachamim va Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Tirgmar Rav Nachman Aliv Rav Sheshes, Kikon Shalom v'zeh le'esav v'zeh le'chamish. The Mishnah is not referring to a situation where it's the exact same amount of money with the exact same date, but rather one lent money for 10 years and one lent money for 5 years. And therefore, the person who lent money for 5 years has a right to collect his debt because he doesn't owe anything back for another 5 years. So the Gemara wants to analyze and understand exactly what does that case mean. Hey Chidami, exactly what is the case that we are discussing? Ilema Rishon Eser, if we're going to say that the first person borrowed money for 10 years, Vasheni, and the second person borrowed money for 5 years. Bahal Lema Adman, says the Gemara, is that case where Adman would say in our Mishnah, Iliyasa Chayevelcha, Ketza Atalavimani, that if I owe you money, why are you borrowing money from me? Why don't you just take what I owe you? The reason that you need to borrow money from me and can't just say, well, pay back what you owe me, because the time for me to pay back hasn't yet come. And the time to pay back hasn't yet come, I'm not obligated to pay back. Ella, the only way we could understand the Mishnah, that Admon's words in the Mishnah should make any sense, is where the first person borrowed money for 5 years, and the second person borrows for 10 years, and the money is due. And as the Gemara says, hey, chidami, exactly, let's take this a step further. Either matazamne, if the time to pay back came already, so then Admon's point is extremely powerful. And we need to understand my time of the Rabbanan. Why would the Rabbanan say, my time of, that the Rabbanan say, why are you borrowing money? Admon's claim is very powerful. Why are you borrowing money if he owes you money? And if the time for me to pay you back has not yet come, so that's why you and you need money, that's why you're borrowing money from me, and you can't say, well, pay me what you owe, because the time to pay has not yet come. And since the time to pay has not yet come, I don't have to pay what until that time comes. And therefore, what's the point of what Admon is making? My time of the Admon. Why? Well, how do we understand Admon's position? Says the Gemara, Lord Tzricha, we're going to have to explain that the Mishnah is speaking about a situation, the us about who yoim the Mishlam Chamesh. I borrowed money from you for 5 years. And the day, that day where the money is due, that's the day before, to be a little more exact, that's the day you come to borrow money. Masava, so now we have the Machlokes Admon the Chamin. Admon says, why would you borrow money today? Wait for tomorrow, and tomorrow, instead of needing to borrow money from me, you can make a claim, pay me back what I owe you. Pay back what you owe me. The people borrow money even for one day. He can't wait for tomorrow. That's the Chachamim's opinion is. If I need money today, yes, tomorrow I can request the money that you owe me, but I can't wait for tomorrow because I need that money today, so I'll borrow it today. Or Masover, Admon's opinion is that nobody who's owed money and tomorrow is the due date is going to borrow money for one day. He'll figure it out till tomorrow. Loy of an inish the Yazif liyoyme. And that's the machloikus and the understanding of Admon and Chacham in our Mishnah. Ram Bachacha biyasmi iskinim. That he has a different way of understanding our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is referring to a case where the people are Yisoimim. That the halacha is, Yasmi Migbigami, money that was owed to the father of the Yisoimim. The Yisoimim have a right to collect. However, Aguve lo magminim enayu. As we've learned many times, Yisoimim are not responsible to pay back the father's debt only if the father left real estate, property. If the father only left cash, left metaltalin, they don't have an obligation to pay back that loan. There's a mitzvah to pay off chayvus aviyim, but we can't collect from them. And therefore, the Kishna is speaking about a case where the father did not leave over any property. And that's why there's a purpose in collecting this debt. And it's not considered hafuchim ederusa. The Mishnah is not in the case of Hafuchim et Arosa. Well, I collect from you and you collect from me. And Rav Sheshet said, so what's the point of going through this whole charade? Because I could collect, a Yosem could collect, but a Yosem doesn't have to pay. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, Zeh Goiva, they were both going to collect. But the way Rami Bacham is explaining the Mishnah, the Yosemim are collecting, but they're not paying. Says the Gemara, what the Mishnah means to say, Zeh Goiva, the Yisoimim are going to actually collect what is due to their father. The Zeh Royal Ligvais, and the other person has a debt that he really has, should have the right to collect, but he won't be able to collect because the Yisoimim don't own any property. And the Yisoimim didn't inherit any property from the father. Asks Rava, Amar Rava, Shtei Tshuvas B'Davar. I have two issues with this shot that you just suggested, Rami Bachama. Because what we just did was take the words of the Mishnah of Zeh Goiva and Zeh Goiva and sort of explain that they don't mean like it says. That what means ze goyver ze royal voice. So the Gemara says that's not what it says in the Mishnah. Chada, the Mishnah's words were ze goyver ze goyver ktani, not like you explain ze goyver ze royal voice. Voy, and moreover, legvin el arli asmi. Why can't they do the father? The following. The father indeed did not leave over any real estate. Since the father didn't leave over any real estate, anybody who the father owed money to is in a very weak position, because as we learned, you only could collect the debt from the assignment from real estate, from property, not from a tatlan. So ask the Gemara, why doesn't Bezdin do the following? We said that the assignment could collect any money that's owed to them. So let the assignment collect the money that's owed to them, property, and then Lahada Veligva Minayu. And then the other side will be able to have one where to the other side will have from where to collect the money owed to them, because now the Yisraim own real estate. And now, which is what Rav Nachman suggested. Rav Nachman suggests, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Bavua, Yisraim should go over Kak Bechayb Savim. If Yisraim are collecting property because their father was owed money, then now they own real estate. Now that they own real estate, Bal Choyv, Choyz V'Goyvason, the people that their father owed money to, can now collect that money. So, according to Yerushalayim B'Chama, why isn't that what should have happened in our Mishnah? And the Gemara therefore says, Yerushalayim B'Chama is proud, Pshat is Kasha. Ask the Gemara, we still could somehow be able to defend Yerushalayim B'Chama's approach in the Mishnah. The Lukma, this Lili Yisah, Yasmik Zaburius. The Yisraimim own property, which is Zaburius. This little of the day, and the person who they want to collect from has Ijis, Abaininus. So what are the Yisraimim going to collect? Dazi Yasmik of Abaininus. Like every Baal Chayiv collects Abaininus. Or Magvile, and what will he get back? He'll get back Zaburius. And the Gemara explains, Di Nami, even according to the opinion that we've learned in our Shia today, that says that the determination, the identification, if a piece of property is Ijus, Beinus, Zaburius, is not based on what I own or don't own. Rather, it's based on determination, property gets graded. B'shel kol odom hein shamim. There's still a halacha that even though normally, if I owe money and they're collecting property from me, they collect from Beinus. By Yisraimim, it's different. Says the Gemara, ha, ain't the Fram and Nix Yisraimim Elam Zaburius. So therefore, that's why the Yisraimim have a point in going through this procedure. Answers the Gemara, this rule that we just said, that ain't the Fram and Yisraimim Elam Zaburius, hani mila hechta loy tofus. That's when the person who was owed the money did not seize any property. If he sees property which is better than Zaburius, it's going to be halachically upheld. Tafis. And since in this case he's already holding the property, so there's ein lecha tfisa gedayla mezu. There is no bigger example of somebody being a tafis, and therefore he should be able to hold on to his beninus if he's holding on to this property as well. And therefore, we have not been able to explain Rami Bachama's explanation of the Mishnah, and Rami Bachama's explanation apparently is refuted. Says the Mishnah, Sholosh Arotzos L'Nesuin. A husband gets married to a wife, and he could demand that his wife move. In those days, the newly married couple typically lived where the husband came from. So the halacha is, the question is, when can the husband demand from his wife that she move with him, and when can he not? So says the Mishnah, there are three distinct regions in Eretz Yisrael. Shars, Eretz Suin, the three distinct regions in Israel where people cannot force somebody to move from one to the other. What are those areas? Yehuda ve'eva yad ve'gol. Many Achroinim discuss that aren't Yehuda and Golol next to each other. So why does the Mishnah put Evra Yardin in between Yehuda and Golol? So Tosfos Yontov explains that when we speak about Evra Yardin and Eretz Yisrael, there are actually two parts of Eivar Yard, the two Eivar Yardains. There's an Eivar Yardain on the Maariv side, on the west side, and there's an Eivar Yardain on the Mizrach side. And the Eivar Yardain on the Mizrach side is right next to Yehud, is right between Yehud and Gaul. Others say that the Mishnah is teaching us that one should not consider Eivar Yardain any less of Eretz Yisrael than the other parts of Eretz Yisrael. That Eivar Yardain is considered a full-fledged part of Eretz Yisrael. Another pshat is that the Rishash suggests that between Yehuda and Golo, there was actually land that was inhabited by Nochrim. There was never any land between Eivar Yardain and Golo, and or Eivar Yardain and Yehuda that had Nochrim in between. Eimetzim Eliir, we can't force a woman to live, to move from an ear in a city in one of these regions to a city in a different region, or to move mikrach lekrach. Ear, we're going to see, is a metropolis. Krach is a smaller city. And again, we can't force a wife to move from the krach in one region to the krach in a different region. Avol oisa eretz, but if it's all in one region, the husband could force his wife, might see him ear to ear. A husband could force his wife to go from one city to another city, or mikrach lekrach, and from one krach to another krach. Avor, never even within one region, could a husband force his wife, loy mi ear lekrach, for loy mikrach leir, to move from an ear to a krach, or to a krach to ear. Metzien, the halacha is, we could take a wife from one ear to another ear, or from one krach to another krach, that's only minava ra, from a place which is not such a great place to live. We could force her to move lenava yofa, to a better place. But we cannot force her, avaloi minava yofa lenava ra. Shimon Gamliel, ayma afaloi minava ra lenava yofa. We can't even force her to move from two different types of places, even if we're moving her from a weaker place to a better place. Neisha Nova Yofa, living in that type of place, boidik. It causes a person, if a person is not accustomed to live in that type of a place, the person is not going to be able boidik. It's going to cause the person who's not used to living in that place to get sick. If you move to a place which is not the way or not the style or what you're used to, even though it's a better place, it's not something that you're used to, and you can't, and that could cause that a person, chas v'sholem, should get sick and not be able to deal with this. So our Gemara, our Mishnah, and we're going to talk about it in the Gemara, says that a man can insist that his wife moves him as long as the new location is within the same region and it's comparable living conditions. So, for example, if a man wants his wife to move from a rural area to a metropolis, his wife could say that she doesn't want to live in the city. If somebody wants to move from a city that is majority Jewish to a city which is majority non-Jewish, again, his wife could say that she wants to live amongst Jews. The Trumas Edeshin discusses, what is the halacha of a husband doesn't have any income, and he can't find a job where they come from? Can he insist that his wife relocate with him to another country, even though she says, let's stay where we are, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us? Says the Trumas Edeshin, the husband could say, given the circumstances, he can insist that they move. The Beis Yosef disagrees and says that a wife could say that, yes, you're having difficulty finding employment here. You want to move elsewhere, which is not as good as where we come from, but that's where you have a job. No, let's stay where we are and Hashem will help. The Prisha says that the woman can resist moving only in a case where they have shalom bayis, even though they're living in difficult financial situation. But if the poverty in the home is the source of the disruption of their shalom bayis, because she says, I don't have what to live on, says the priest, then the Beis Yosef will agree with the Trumas Adeshin that the husband could say, we have this problem, and we see, and you see how this problem is affecting our marriage, he has a right to insist that they move. Says the Ritvaz, in a situation when the husband is justifying and demanding a move, says the Ritvaz that still Beis Din cannot force the wife to move. The best Beis Din could do is tell her that the husband will be able to divorce her, she'll lose her ksuba. And the Ran adds that if the husband doesn't want to divorce his wife, he can't move and say, well, I don't want to divorce you, but I need to move, and I'm going to leave you where you are. Even if it's a case, says the Ran, where she was wrong and she should move with him, that, says the Ran, the husband has no right to abandon a wife, and he has to continue supporting her and taking care of her as long as they're married. Says the Ran, moreover, that nowadays we have the Chayr Rabbeinu Gershom, which says that a man can't forcibly divorce his wife, so certainly under those circumstances, he can't just do what he thinks and abandon his wife, even when he has good reason. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Mekrach Le'ir, the reason why somebody, where a wife could say, I don't want to move from the Krach, which is not the main city, to the Ir, the Mekrach Shchilchi Komili, in the Krach you could find everything you need. You can't find everything in the city, and that's why the wife could say, I don't want to go to a place where my needs, what I need won't be easily met. Elamil krach my tama. Why can't she refuse to move from the ear to the krach? Answers the Gemara, Sayle Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, Dar Rabbi Bechanina, Menayin Yeshivas Krachim Kosher. That living in the Krachim is harder than the Arim. Shnevi Varch Chalam Noshem Amasnadvim, Lashevis Bishulayim. That means that they donated to live in Yerushalayim. It's not something that is easily demanded. Why is it not easily demanded? Because it's not so easy to live in a big city. Shimon Gamliel Eimer, my Baidik. We learned at the Mishnah that Yeshiv Menei She Nava Yofa Baidik. What does that mean? Shmuel Damer Shmuel Shini Veset. A person who is not accustomed to something is the beginning of Tchilas Chol Me'ayim. I saw a beautiful pshat from the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer says that the Gemara tells us the Masech Debeya, Daf Tezayin Amar Aleph, when the Gemara speaks about Shammai. So the Gemara says that what Shammai did was that he would buy all week Lekavit Shabbos. What does that mean? That if he found something nice, he would buy it for Shabbos. And then, if he found something better, he would eat what he bought for Shabbos and save what was better. Says the Ksav Sofer, why did Shammai and Hillel had a different approach? Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. Hillel's approach was that every day I will do what is necessary to do that day. So says the Ksav Sofer, what was Pshat and Shammai? Shammai knew that if a person is going to have a very, like Hillel suggests, a very different diet on Shabbos than he has all week long, our Gemara just said, Shinui Veset, changing your diet, is Tchil Chol Me'ayim, is a way that Chas V'Shalom, you're not going to be well. To avoid that problem, says the Gemara, what Shammai did was that a person always ate food that was fit for Shabbos. The person, by always eating food that was fit for Shabbos, what was that person actually doing? They were getting used to always eating the same type of food and wouldn't have the problem identified. Kasa b'Sefer Ben Sira. There's a Sefer which is known as the Sefer Ben Sira, and it says there, Kol Yimei Ani Royim, all the days of a Ani are bad. Asked them why they all bad. And as I saw the Mefarshim explain, they always made sure that people should have food for Shabbos and Yontif. Answers the Gemara, yes, they always made sure that people should have food for Shabbos and Yontif. But like Shmuel taught us, Dama Shmuel, Shin Invest Tchil Sechayel Me'ayim. But Siraima, not only the days of poor people are difficult, af laylas, even if it's nights. B'shvel gagin gabay, his house is lower. He doesn't have money to buy a tall house. B'roim harm karmay, property at the top of the mountain is cheaper than property at the bottom of the mountain. So therefore, m'tar gagin l'gagay, since his house is lower than everybody else's house, the rain drips down on his house from everybody else's house. And what happens is the fertilizer from his property rolls down, which is on the top of the mountain, rolls down to the bottom of the mountain. Says the Mishnah, Hakamal Metzisrol, everybody could force his family members to go to Tzisrol, then I call Ma'itzian. Not everybody could force them to, nobody could force someone to leave Israel. Hakamal Mishlaim, everybody has the right to go to Yerushalayim, to live in Yerushalayim, and come and see. You cannot demand somebody leave Yerushalayim. Echad Anoshim v'Echad Anoshim. And this rule applies to both men and women equally. And the Chasam Sofer actually, the Shalos Tshuvos Yerideya, Siman Reish Lamed Daled, has a very interesting discussion. He says that at a certain point of our history, there were many earthquakes. One was actually quite devastating in Tzfas. And he says, why was that? Because apparently the Jewish settlement was not in Yerushalayim. It was more in the Tzfas Tveri area. And our Mishnah test taught us, Hakamal in Yerushalayim, everybody should be in Yerushalayim. And they who didn't go to Yerushalayim, it was a terrible embarrassment to Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim demanded its honor, and that's why those areas were so affected. Nasi Shabbat Yisrael, if somebody married a woman at Yisrael, the Gir Shabbat Yisrael, and divorced her at Yisrael, Noislam and Maris at Yisrael, the Ksuba should be paid with Israeli type of coins. On the same, Nasi Isha Barat Yisrael, but if somebody married a wife in at Yisrael, the Gir Shabbat Kaputkia, Noislam and Maris at Yisrael, you give her Israeli money, which, as we're going to learn, is not as good as kaput gear money. Nasa isha b'kaput gear, v'ger shabbat Yisrael, again, naislam imas at Yisrael. Shem gamalei leima, naislam imas kaput gear, says, since he married in kaput gear, the ksuba was written in ksuba, in kaput gear, the money paid should be with kaput gear. Nasa isha b'kaput gear, v'ger shabbat kaput gear. But if the marriage and the divorce took place at Kaputkia, then everybody agrees, no shlomim Kaputkia, you give her Kaputkia money by the ksuba payment. Hakamalim. So the Mishnah began with the words Hakamalim. Ask the Gemara Lasuyimai, what is taught with those words? Lasuyay Avodim. That if an owner could force his Eved Ivri to come with him to Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Man the Tani Avodim Behedja. According to the Girsa that has Avodim explicit in our Mishnah, Lasuya Mai, Lasuya Menei Yavala Nevei Ra. That if somebody who's living in Chutz Laaretz in a beautiful neighborhood, and now they're going to live in Eretz Yisrael in not such a nice neighborhood, you could still force them to come to Eretz Yisrael. Then I come at Siyim. What does that mean? Lasuya Mai, Lasuya Eved. Then Eved Kanani, Shebarach, Mechutz Laaretz Laaretz, that ran from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, Amirlei, we tell his owner in Chutz Laaretz, Zamne Hachav Zil, sell him to somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael. You can't demand that he come back to you to Chutz Laaretz, because even the Eved Kanani has the mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, has the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he could say, I want to stay. Therefore, he could say, I want to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Hakamal Yerushalayim Lasuya Mai. What does it mean that everybody could be told to live in Yerushalayim? Lasuya Menei Yofel and Ve'ara, even from a beautiful neighborhood to not such a nice neighborhood in Yerushalayim. Then come at Sin Lasuya Mai. Lasuya Filim Menei Ve'ara and Ve'ara. Somebody has an opportunity to live outside Yerushalayim in a nice neighborhood, he should stay in Yerushalayim. Vay the Tana Resha and come at Sin. Says the Gemara, even though this could have been understood, since we learned in the Reish these two cases, Tana Sefer, Nami Eimetzian, everybody to teach us the importance of staying in Yerushalayim and staying in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the Chashukei Chemed Paskins here, that let's say there's someone who is studying to be a doctor, and he could get training in Chutz La'aretz. But if he's going to get training in Chutz La'aretz, he could get training in Chutz La'aretz, and he could get training in Eretz Yisrael. Can he say, I want to get training in Chutz La'aretz, that may be better training than training in Eretz Yisrael? So the Chashukei Chemed Paskins, interestingly enough, that if he could get quality training in Israel, even if the training in Israel is not necessarily on the same level as the training in Chutz La'aretz, it's still considered something that he should try to get, should not leave Eretz Yisrael. Tana Bonim, Hu Oy Melalis, the husband wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, V'Yomer Shleilas, and she doesn't. Kaifnes Elalis, they could force her to move. Vimlav, and if she refuses, Tetzi B'lei Ksuba, so he could divorce her and not have to pay the Ksuba. Vice versa, he Emeris Lalas, she wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, V'Oy Mishleilas, and he doesn't. Kaifnei Salalas, we could force him to move. Vimlav, and if he refuses, Yoytzvi Yitei Ksuba. He Emeris Letzis, she wants to leave Eretz Yisrael, V'Oy Mishleilas, and he doesn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael. Kaifnei Salalas, she shouldn't leave. Vimlav, and if she absolutely is going to leave, Tetzi B'lei Ksuba. Huay Melotzes, he wants to leave Eretz Yisrael. V'yemer Shleilotzes, and she doesn't want to. Kaifnei says Shleilotzes, we don't. V'mlav, and if he will leave, Yoytzvi Yitei Ksuba. Nasi Isha, we learned in the Mishnah, that if someone got married in Eretz Yisrael and is divorcing Kaputkia, we give them Eretz Yisrael money. If someone got married in Kaputkia and is getting divorced in Eretz Yisrael, we give Eretz Yisrael money. But ask the Gemara Guf Akasha. We learned in the Mishnah, Ketani, Nasi Isha B'Eretz Yisrael, V'Gersha B'Kaputkia, Nasi L'Meres Eretz Yisrael. So what do we see from here? Amabasa Shibudazlin. We go according to the place where they got married, where according to the place where he undertook this obligation. And since they got married in Eretz Yisrael, we assume, not just assume, we're saying that the obligation is in Israeli money. But ask the Gemara, Eim HaSeifa. The Seifa says, Nasi Isha B'Kaputkia, V'Gersha B'Eretz Yisrael. They got married in Kaputkia and they get divorced in Eretz Yisrael. Nice Lim and Mars Eretz Yisrael. So here we see that we look at the place where the divorce is taking place. Alma Basa Gavina is leaning. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Mekulei Ksubishanakan. As we explained in the Mishnah, Eretz Yisrael money is weaker than Kaputka money. And they wanted Allah, since the Ksubid, says the Gemara, is only an obligation with Rabbanon, she gets the weaker money. She gets the weaker money. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, if somebody got married in Kaputka, and he gets divorced in Eretz Yisrael, he says they use Kaputka money. Why? Because his opinion is that Ksuba is the Raisa. Tana Rabbonim. Hamotzi Shtach Chayv El Chaver, if somebody presents a document that somebody else owes me money, Kosba B'Bavel, if the document was written in Bavel, Magbeim Emos Bavel, we use Bavel money to pay it. Kosov Eretz Yisrael, if the loan took place in Eretz Yisrael, Magbeim Emos Eretz Yisrael. Kotzav Bostam, if the place where the loan took place is not indicated in the document, Hoytziv Bavel, if it's presented in Bavel, Magbeim Emos Bavel. Hoytziv Eretz Yisrael, Magbeim Emos Eretz Yisrael. Kosov Kesav Stam, if there's no indication that if the says they borrowed money, and it doesn't say how much. It says I borrowed 100, but it doesn't say 100 what? Mashir to loiva magbeyu. The malva, whatever the loiva wants to pay, that's what it's going to be accepted. Hamoitz mechavera all of a raya. Mashen kem b'ksuba. Ask them, what does it mean, mashen kem b'ksuba? Amra, mishash aresha. That the Mishnah says that the aloch that we play with the, where it doesn't say we pay with the money where the payment is taking place, the Beit Ksuba is not that way. You could always use the Ksuba is always with the weaker money. The Fukim of Shimon Gamliel Dom Ksuba Daraisa. Kosba Kesav Stam, if doesn't indicate what type of money, Mashi Yitzel Loiva, whatever the Loiva is willing to pay, Magbeyu. Vema, maybe it's Nischa. Maybe the reason it wasn't mentioned what type of money, because it's pieces of silver. Amar It says it was money. It doesn't say it was pieces of silver. Vemapriti, maybe it means small, very insignificant copper coins. Answers the Gemara, Amar Papa, Priti the Kaspa. Priti the Kaspa will have the Inchi. Nobody makes this type of, people have that type of money. And that's why we don't assume that that's what was meant.